In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. My dear friends in Christ, it may be that many of us have had the experience of ringing a doorbell and having been nervous about what sort of reception we would get from the person who answered the door, or having called a telephone number with a sense of mingled hope and dread. That feeling might help us to understand the different ways in which we can invoke the holy name of Jesus. Is he to be loved, or is he to be feared? Do we march up to him with full confidence, slap him on the back, or do we hide from him, fearing his anger? The answer comes, I think, somewhere in between. He wants us to love him, but in a reverential way. One of the seven gifts of the Holy Ghost, as we know, is fear of the Lord, which does not mean fear as we normally understand the word, but as giving due reverence to one who is so much holier than ourselves. Our blessed Lord wants our love, but we must be reverent at the same time. We must be submissive, contrite, trusting, confiding in our approach to him, at the same time asking him mercy on our sins and daring to ask for other favors as well. Give us this day our daily bread. Is it still love if we have to be so careful how we behave in his presence? This is a point that confuses a lot of modern thinkers. They reason that if we are in our Father's house, we should be able to do pretty much anything we like. Dress as we see fit. God looks at my heart. He looks at your heart, but he looks at what you're wearing as well. And he looks at how you behave. Our love for God is more like the love of a child for a parent, or a servant for a master, if he's a good master. It's not a love between equals, and this we forget a lot of the times in our egalitarian world, society, and so on. It's not a love between equals, but it's a love that can be very strong for all that. We can be at home in his presence, but not forgetting his great dignity and importance, the fact that he is God. Thus we show reverence, such as kneeling, such as keeping silence, behaving properly in church, dressing properly. And thus, far from constraining our love, it actually increases it. So we ring the doorbell of heaven itself. When we call on the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, something we do often but should never do lightly. To call a name, as we know, is to summon that person. We say, "Hey, Fred," and Fred's going to look up. Do we say, "Hey, Jesus"? Some do, but it's a mistaken familiarity. And remember that "hay" is for horses, right? We say, "O Lord Jesus, O my Lord, O my Jesus." Notice "Lord" is a statement of respect. He is Lord. We are his creation. We are his servants. We summon his attention, but with a due sense of awe that we're even able to do such a thing. We could probably or we would probably be nervous about addressing a famous person, for example, head of state or a movie star maybe, but can be overly bold or casual in addressing the Almighty. But having said that, he does want us to approach him freely, confiding everything in him, reaching out like that woman who touched the hem of his garment and was healed. Once having established that due reverence, we can approach him freely and without limit. In fact, he wants us to call upon him all day, every day. He doesn't tire of us, provided we come with the right attitude. If we get the right balance between familiarity and respect, we're harnessing a great power and a great love. We're summoning the Creator of all things and our Lord and Savior, Savior of the whole world. There's no problem he cannot solve. There's no sin he cannot forgive. No grace he cannot provide. So in the epistle of today's Mass, this epistle is part of the account of Peter and John going up to the temple. And at the door, they healed this lame man. And the power of the holy name of Jesus. And we can see it as a foretaste of what could come. Silver and gold, I have none. But what I have, I give you. In the name of Jesus, stand up and walk. So what does Peter have? He doesn't have the name. He has access to the name. We have the same thing. And when we call upon it, it's like having a whole universe in our hands. We can do much good if we realize with whom and what we are dealing. Saints Peter and John heal the crippled man by the power of the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ, stand up and walk, he says. There are many names, as we know, in the world, people and things, but only one name out of all of them, has the power to work miracles. When we call upon this name, we're calling upon the power of God himself, the Creator and Savior, the same power which put this world into place and which keeps it running is contained in that one name. Now, we have to understand, too, we don't call on the name of Bill or John or Sally or Mary in the same way. We call other names, but we don't expect them to heal us or to forgive our sins. We don't cry out in the depths of our anguish, "Oh, Sam, save me," or "George, forgive my sins." That would be ridiculous. Who wouldn't think those people are not able to hear us unless we're in their presence? And they don't have the power or the authority to grant such requests. But we take it for granted that Jesus can hear us whenever we call upon him, and that he has all authority in heaven and on earth. Among men, he is unique, and among saviors, quote unquote, he's often demoted to be listed along with other admirable figures in our past or present times. So he's put on the same level as Gandhi or Martin Luther King or other social reformers of their times. Or he's listed with the other heads of religions, false religions, or enlightened figures, Buddha, Mohammed, just as one among others. But it's impossible for him to be put in any list implying equality with others. Others are not God. He is. Other people maybe admirable in their way and do some amount of saving insofar as they can improve certain conditions of their time. But no one else comes close to being savior of the whole world and potentially of every person in it. So we need to be clear about who and what we are calling upon when we utter his name. It's a name which opens the gates of heaven and brings down blessing upon us. It may work miracles, depending on what we're asking for. But it will always bring some form of improvement in our situation. It's therefore a name which must never be used lightly or carelessly, much less blasphemously, because it's of a great power. And that power is hated by evil spirits, is hated by those of the world. And this accounts for the attacks we see upon the holy name. Just as we don't pray to Fred or Bill, we don't use their names as swear words, but the name of Jesus, we find it easy to use glibly or to use it as an expletive. It's so used thousands of times a day, a kind of super negative compliment. This name is so powerful, it's worth hating if we don't love it, and many do hate it. In this name, the divine and the human meet. God has many names, and we can use any one of them in our prayer. But this particular name, the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, has significance because it brings home to us the wonder of the incarnation. In Jesus, God meets man because he is both. In him, the closeness of divine and human is at its fullest. There's perfect reconciliation and unity between the two natures. Therefore, we in all our human distress can do no better than call upon him who understands our human difficulties and has the divine power to make things right. So, my friends, he is the gateway to heaven for us, either taking us there or bringing heaven to us. We're healed, we're forgiven, we're saved, we're blessed. Always something good whenever we call upon his holy name. Amen. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.